This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Did you win the Powerball? Would you be listening to this show? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Once again, 2022. We kick off the week. It's a brand new year. We got some brand new features we're going to roll out for you, too. But coming up on this show, we have some great conversations, including one with my pal Jason Harris, who flies some of the biggest birds that I've ever seen for the Air Force. Can you imagine? I was thinking about a cousin that I have is a Top Gun pilot, and it's that Navy versus Air Force kind of thing. And we have an interesting conversation about taking flight and what's that like. So you probably couldn't hand in your 2-week notice, or would you even hand in a 2-week notice? I don't know. So you might still check those numbers to see if perhaps you were the winner. There was no winner in the first Powerball drawing of 2022. So it rolled over to $522 million on Monday. But it would just be crazy to, I think, unroll that ticket that's stuffed in your pocket somewhere and check out and see, you know, check those numbers out. And that's what you hear. People threw it on a dresser. They threw it on a table and they just forgot about it just on a whim. They decided, okay, well, I'm going to get the jackpot. I might hit the jackpot. So I got to do this. So here are the winning numbers for Monday's Powerball drawing. 213, 32, 33, 48, and the Powerball 22. Can you imagine? Lump sum payments or 30 payments over the course of 29 years. Take the lump sum, right? Just take the lump sum. Somebody could be right now sitting there with a winning ticket, $384.3 million. Yeah. All right, it's not about the millions. It's about trillions is what is the sticking point in Washington, D.C. And in Washington, they're dealing with snow right now. But that snow will go away. And in mid-January, there are a few very big items that will be tossed around on the Hill in the House and the Senate. And who knows, maybe it becomes official and becomes law. But there are a few things that would affect you and would affect me. And namely, it's the pet project of President Biden's that Joe Manchin is kind of holding up, right? He said no, the money was too much, it was too broad, it just didn't make any sense. So now, with the gentle, kinder holidays that we've just gone through, apparently he's softened up a little bit. But softening up a little bit doesn't mean he's going to vote for a giant package that was initially said to be $4 trillion, $4 trillion over 10 years. So now trudging forward, it's $1.7 trillion. It's a climate and social policy bill that was short just one vote at the end of 2021, never made it to the floor. So Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer pledged a vote on the Democrats' signature domestic policy legislation this month. The lone holdout was Senator Joe Manchin, who went on the record to say no, it was too much, the bill was too broad, it didn't make any sense, there were things he didn't like in the bill. So they need every Democratic vote to move the legislation through the reconciliation process with zero Republican votes because they're not going to get them. Manchin says he's open to reengaging on the climate and child care provisions, but the enhanced child care tax credit from the $1.75 trillion package has to be gone or dramatically lower the income caps for eligible families. So that's supposedly where he's at. Because he was a hard no. No. Back on December 19th. So it's the size and the scope of the package. Will they be able to get him over the hump that he decides, yeah, I'm gonna vote for it. I'm gonna do it. Because he didn't like the $4 trillion over 10. He didn't like it. So what's the big picture in all of this? Apparently, Manchin and the White House people, the White House aides, spoke on December 19th. They went back and forth, and now they agreed to continue to talk. So he stayed in touch with the White House over the holidays, and now they are close to a potential deal. Mm-hmm. And that deal could be just reshaped and be a little bit different. So it may happen. It might not. It's one vote, right? Just shows you one vote matters, whether you need a favor politically speaking, or whether you need that vote to get you into the particular office, maybe even city council in wherever you hail from. When people say they don't want to go out and vote, sometimes it's that one vote that can stop somebody. Yeah, it's just like that. Boom. All right, just like that, boom, overnight, there were once again so many cancellations with flights. I have to say that I hope you had a great holiday, and I hope that you didn't have to travel. And if you did, you were one of the lucky people that got through, because what happened for some people, they got to their destination, yay, they were happy, it was great, but then they couldn't get back home. So they were visiting parents, grandparents, they were taking a vacation with the family, and couldn't get back to where they came from. And it went day after day after day, because here's what happens. It's a rolling effect. Omicron shut down a lot of the airlines' individual flights because of flight crews that tested positive. And then you have the weather. It's like now you had Washington, D.C. all day, snow. Philadelphia, snow. The Northeast, record-setting snow. And so with that hitting the East, people that were trying to get to Maryland and parts of New Jersey or Philadelphia or any of those places couldn't get there because the flights weren't going. It was part of a whole weather thing. So between that, the weather and the variant, it made a pretty rough holiday for a lot of people who were stuck in airports, sometimes 12, 15, even a day. I mean, a day in the airport, wow, how much airport food can you eat? And then it closes down. Oh, I've been in those airports at odd hours. It's the worst. It is just the worst, right? And then what happens is that rolling effect that I said, because you have people all over the country burning up the phone lines for the airlines. That's what they're told to do. Of course they have to. They have to re-rack their flight, and they're on hold. And they're trying to get another flight to get to wherever it was that they were headed. And they often can't do that because the flights get snapped up and re-racked. When people try to get from point A to point B, they'll take flights all over the place to make that happen. Yeah. All right, COVID. Yes, indeed, it has not gone away. You thought it was a dream, but no, it's here. And more people are testing positive for it, but saying that they're dealing with the mild symptoms, like Jimmy Fallon, who tested positive for COVID-19 and said he was vaxxed and boosted. Whoopi Goldberg tested positive for COVID-19. Same thing, but some of the school districts are saying it's all about remote learning for now until this goes away. Stay with us.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Virtual green room. Her name is Rose Sweetflower, and the name of the book is Truly Loved. This is a book about going through some really hard things in life, and how do you come out on the other side? How do you forgive? It's sisters, it's a mother, it's relationships. It's very, very complicated and very interesting, and I think so many people can relate to this. So, Rose, thank you for coming on the show. Tell us, peel this back for us. Why did you write it?
I wrote it because, it was 20, I was 40 years old, and I got a call from my mother, or from my cousin, that my mother was in the hospital, and as I'm on the airplane, I'm reminiscing back, and then after all the events unfold, and she had died, I thought to myself, you know, I have quite a story to tell. Other people do it. Why can't I? So I wanted to give people who have gone through similar experiences as me, to give them maybe have hope to be their guide and help them to heal and get through life as best as I can.
Yeah. And again, you're right. It's under Rose Sweetwater. So when you look it up on Amazon.
Sweetflower.
Sweetflower. Rose Sweetflower.
Right.
That's what you'll find it under. And tell us about the novel.
Well, it starts out with me on the airplane going back to my mother. I'm reminiscing, and then I'm remembering, okay, so I was born in Nevada. I was partly raised in Kentucky and in the mountains of Idaho. But it basically is my parents, me and my other sisters. I have an older sister and then two younger sisters that are twins. And we were raised, but at the time my mother was neglecting us. And our parents are fighting. They get divorced. She has custody of us. She takes us back to Kentucky with her hill folk. And then it's my father's turn to have us. He plans to kidnap us. And he does. I was 7 years old. And then he takes us from back east all the way to Idaho. And then what does he do? He puts us in an environment with evil, mean stepmothers. And while I'm thinking about this, I want to bring up the header, Coal Miner's Daughter Meets Mommy Dearest. It's kind of like that, but that's not the whole story. But anyway, so we're being abused by her, trying to deal with, you know, our loss of not being able to see our mother. And then 6 years go by. And then my father dies in a mine accident, 1972. And so we're thinking, oh, maybe we'll get to see our mother and get out of this abusive environment with our stepmother. But that didn't work out, even though our mother came all the way from Kentucky to see us. But within 24 hours, she went back, supposedly she got her money. But so we were stuck being raised by our stepmother. And then eventually we all, you know, leave and go on our separate ways. And then I married for a couple of years, and my sister, older sister, went back to Kentucky and found her mother. She had her phone number, and I call her. And then I'm trying to figure out when I can actually see her. And it isn't until I'm 29 years old, which meant that it was 22 years before I could really get to see her. And it led up to us getting to see her, where we were in Georgia, and we were my husband's job, and we had 7 kids, and then we were heading to Wichita. And so I said, well, my mother, can we stop and see her in Kentucky? He said, yeah, it's only about 100 miles out of the way. So we stopped, and that was like, I was still scared, you know, it was like 10:30 at night, and I knocked on the door, and, you know, she was like in her 20s when I saw her. Now she's, I don't know how old she is, but she looked different, you know?
Yeah.
And so we go in, and we put our kids to bed, and then we spend the next hour and a half talking to her. What happened? And she said, well, you know, when your father, he took me to the store, left your kids out in the car, and then he waited for me to go in the dressing room to try on a dress, and then he got out of the store and went and took off with you girls, went back to the motel, picked up his wife and their baby, and came down. And so I said, well, what did you do? And she said, well, I went, called the cops, and, you know, they tried to find us for years and years. But my father was smart in that he changed his social security number. He went to a lawyer and had that done so they couldn't find him. But eventually, then, after I saw her, we spent like a day and a half with her. And it just so happened that my only daughter was 7 years old at the time. So that was pretty cool. And then we came back and finished, you know, living our life. And then when I was 40 years old, I was a single parent because my husband was out of the home. And then I get this call from my cousin, and she said, Rose, that you were in the hospital and she was caught cancer and she's having heart problems. And I was like, oh, man, okay, I better get out there. I better fly out there. And my younger sister, one of the twins, she had seen her, but the other twin hadn't. She was in Idaho, and I called her and I said, hey, it's been 33 years. You haven't seen our mother. You know, you're going to regret it if you don't. She said, okay, I'll meet you out there. Well, then my oldest sister, I got different names because I had to change the names.
For the book, yeah.
For some reason. So then, the three of us met out there, and then just before she died, the twins said, you know, we want to remember her alive. So they went back, and then I stayed there, and then, you know, she died. But there's a lot of good, impactful things in the scenery of the book that is, oh my gosh, it make a good movie.
I love this. Well, let's sum this up. We have to sum this up for the listeners. We don't want to tell them everything. Again, the book is called Truly Loved, Rose Sweetflower.
Yeah, let me tell you how I came up with the name Truly Loved. It was from a poem that I wrote that was inspired, that goes like this. It says, Sometimes I want to disappear and not exist for a time. Sometimes I want to be in a place where I long to be heard and hugged by the only one who truly understands and then can I feel truly loved. Well, that was my whole life. I wanted to feel like I was truly loved. And then the cover of the book, it's got the flower with the eye and the tear and the thorns. The thorns represent the hard times of my life, and the tears are the sad parts of my life, and I'm actually nourishing myself with my tears so that I can heal. So I learned, even after I'm raised by my stepmother, I have to learn how to not be afraid of her anymore and to get my power back. So years and years of that, my older sister learned how to do it, and she told me how, and eventually I did. And now my relationship with my stepmother is very, very good. I forgave her. She owned what she did, you know, because she was toxic in my life. Yep. I learned if she wouldn't have owned up to it, she would have been out of my life because she'd be too toxic for me.
Wow, the power of forgiveness, that's truly loved. Rose Sweet Flower, get it on Amazon, B&M, anywhere books are sold. Thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
All right, speaking of the power of forgiveness, I wonder if people will switch allegiances to certain airlines, because as I'm all over social media watching what people are saying on Twitter or Facebook or wherever, kind of a check of what's trending and the frustrations over the more than 3,000 flights canceled on Monday because of weather and the Omicron variant and people feeling like they're just left to figure it out for themselves. Have this, you know, I think when you fly a certain airline, you have that brand loyalty to a Delta, American, Southwest, whatever it might be. And a lot of people are saying that they're never, ever going to fly that airline again. And I can remember saying the same thing. You know, this book that you hear me talking about, Deal Your Own Destiny, when I got trapped thanks to a computer glitch and I had to drive 17 hours to get from Texas to the spot I needed to be in Arizona, there was so much frustration, days and days of cancellations, and I swore I would never fly Southwest again. But, you know, necessity, and I had to fly Southwest a couple of times. So we'll see how those airlines hold up with the people who normally fly them. Oh, my, oh, my. Patience. Patience is a virtue, they say.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
Facebook has joined Twitter in cutting off Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, delivering a 24-hour hold on her account for allegedly violating its COVID-19 misinformation policy. Former President Donald Trump chimed in on the moves Monday night, urging other people to get off Facebook and Twitter, citing the social media companies as a disgrace to the country. A judge has ordered charges dropped against two Bureau of Prisons guards who admitted falsifying records after Jeffrey Epstein's jail suicide. Tova Noel and Michael Thomas admitted their guilt in May in exchange for having the charges dismissed if they followed the agreement's rules for 6 months. And gas prices across the country are averaging around $3.28 per gallon. According to AAA, gas stations in the Pacific Northwest are charging the highest prices. You're listening to USA Radio News. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is recovering from COVID-19.
A statement Monday from Dan Patrick's campaign says the lieutenant governor experienced mild symptoms and tested positive for COVID last week. He since tested negative and is completing his self-quarantine period. He's working from home and will return to his public schedule by the end of the week, according to a senior campaign advisor. And no one else in his household was infected. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm Val Dior.
The former CEO and founder of Theranos has been found guilty on four charges centering around fraud and conspiracy. Elizabeth Holmes faces up to 20 years in prison as well as a fine of $250,000 plus restitution for each count of wire fraud and each conspiracy count. Holmes claimed to have revolutionized blood testing but faced allegations she intentionally lied to doctors, patients, and investors. You're listening to USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to command an Air Force Special Operations Combat Air Crew? I can say I have, but in my virtual green room, I have somebody who's actually done it, and we are so thrilled to have him with us. Let me tell you, Jason Harris has a resume that is so long and so impressive, it would eat up every second of this interview, so we can't dive into his entire career. But combat 11 times. He's seen things that I'm sure would make the hair on the back of my neck and yours rise right up. 12 and a half years of active duty. He started on the C-130, and he's done so many interesting things, and he just was promoted, and thank goodness we have him in the reserves. We need people like Jason Harris. Jason, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate. It's an honor to be here.
So first, let's talk about your new promotion. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I was recently honored to assume command of the 905th Air Refueling Squadron at McConnell Air Force Base in Wichita, Kansas. And that unit is comprised of pilots, boom operators, and support team members, where we fly the Air Force's newest tanker, the KC-46, where we get to pass a bunch of gas in the air from our plane to other planes, and we can also receive gas from other airplanes into our airplane to accomplish the mission.
Oh, that's so cool. How dangerous is that? I've seen that like in a Bond movie and it didn't work out too good, I don't think. That is kind of tricky, isn't it?
You know, it's interesting. Like when I get asked that question, because I do it, I'm like, it's no big deal. But then when I start explaining this, I'm like, wait a minute. So here's the deal, man. You're basically going to take an airplane. You're going to fly up. You're going to take a plane that's about 500,000 pounds. And you're going to fly it up to another airplane that's about 400,000 or 500,000 pounds. And you're going to get this little stick that's going to shove into the nose of your aircraft. And you're probably going to be about 20 or so feet, maybe if that, away from this other airplane. And you're going to fly around at about 500 miles an hour while you get gas. It's just easy. It's just another day at the office. It's not dangerous at all.
That doesn't sound dangerous. So when you started your career, what was that like when you went into your first C-130? What was that moment like for you?
Well, you know, I think even going before C-130s, Kate, is like pilot training. Pilot training was like one of the most challenging years of my life, because the Air Force says you start on this day and a year later exactly, you will be done. And think of it like this, from pilot training, even when I started flying C-130s, I wasn't legal to rent a car by myself without extra insurance. But the Air Force said, here, kid, here's the keys to a jet. You can fly inches, literally inches away from another jet at 300-400 miles an hour, a couple hundred feet off the ground. Good luck. Have fun. We've trained you well. Right. And so it was scary. It was exhilarating. It was anxious. It was exciting. All of that at the same time. And it was so amazing to realize that I had been entrusted to do this mission and work with a crew of people that were so well trained, so professional. And it was such an amazing time.
Did you know when you were a kid that this is what you wanted to do?
Absolutely not. No. What I tell people, Kate, is that I'm number two of my mother's six children, product of three marriages, four fathers to her six children. I grew up a stone's throw away from the Black Panther Party headquarters in Oakland, California. And so growing up, I had never met a pilot that looked like me. And I didn't realize that being a pilot was even a possibility. It wasn't until I went to college that I realized that, oh, wait, there's this thing called being a pilot. And I had seen them, of course, I'd flown on airplanes, but it didn't click, right? I mean, it's like, how do you become a pilot? And so it wasn't until college that I was like, wait, these people were teaching me about being a pilot, and there was a possibility. And so I was like, well, you know what? I think I'll try that on for size.
And it worked out, and it's still working out for you. And I mentioned that you did, 11 combat missions. What were they like?
Yeah, so I did 11 combat deployments, 470-plus combat sorties, and each one was unique in its own right. You know, I started deploying in 2003, and then my last combat deployment was 2011, and everyone was different. Every time you went out to do a mission, there was something different. You know, I remember one mission and flying into Baghdad, Iraq, and we're sitting there. We had landed, and we're offloading cargo. We're getting ready to unload cargo. And all of a sudden you hear incoming mortar fire, and a mortar lands and it hits a fuel bladder and it just explodes and you see this massive fireball, right? Like, and that was just kind of like, oh, that's another day at the office. No big deal. We didn't get hit. Let's go ahead and button up the airplane. Let's get out of here and go back to where we got to go next. Right. So,
wow.
Everything was so unique.
Yeah. No kidding. So you take all this experience and you're a professional speaker, and I can just see how you would just mesmerize an audience. And you have a lot to also offer as far as teaching, when it comes to being a leader, when it comes to imposter syndrome. You know, the story you told about your younger, you had no idea, then look what happens to you and how you can do it and just went through and you didn't think about it. So tell us about your speaking career.
Yeah, so I was teaching at the Air Force Academy, and a good friend of mine invited me to come to Toastmasters and then got me involved with the National Speakers Association. And we started talking, and he started asking me about these different stories that I would tell. And over the course of time, I realized that there was some power in those stories to help other people based on some of the things that I struggled with and based on some of the things that I experienced in leadership roles as well as in followership roles. And so I took those lessons of the amazing people that I worked with in the Air Force, and I began to translate those stories for businesses, for associations, to help them when it comes to their frontline employees, middle management, C-suite and team members. And how do you get a high-performance team to work together to create a culture that's built on commitment, accountability, and most importantly, trust.
I was just going to get to that. So trust is definitely your thing, and that's definitely something that I see that's lacking in a lot of cultures, whether it's somebody in mid-management, C-suite, or wherever it is. How important is trust?
Trust is everything. I mean, you know, they say trust is everything. It's the only thing. You know, when we go out there to do the mission, I have to trust that young person in the back. And I want you to picture this, Kate. Picture you have a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid or young person fresh out of high school. They've entered the military, and now they're a load master in the back of that airplane, and they're responsible for more than 80% of that aircraft. And if they don't do it right, then not only will the mission not get completed, people can possibly lose their lives. And the only way that we can make that mission happen, the only way we can execute what we do every single day is by trusting people. But you don't get to the level of trust that you need if you don't have the right training in place and you don't have the right processes in place to then allow you to be able to trust that person. And yes, we trust and verify. However, if you've got the right training, the right process, you know that you can absolutely unequivocally trust that young person to execute the mission.
So that's obviously something that has to happen or might be lacking in some companies, or they're working on it. You hear the word mentorship thrown around a lot, but I don't know that they always know how to implement it. And I'm not attacking companies, because there's some corporations that do a wonderful job of it. And of course, there's always the search, the mission to search for the right. You understand missions. It's the search for the right fit. How do we do this? How do we implement that? How do you implement that? How do you get to that culture of trust? How do you start to work on that if you really feel like you're maybe at ground zero or you have a lack of trust across the board?
Yeah, I think it starts with just assessing the programs that you have, Kate, right? What I tell companies that I work with, different clients, I say, you guys have obviously hired the right people. And a lot of times we think maybe we didn't hire the right people. No, you hired the right people. But when is the last time that you evaluated what your training program looks like? And a lot of times they go, oh, well, we just do OJT. Well, let's start with the onboarding program. When's the last time you evaluated what that initial onboarding training program looks like? In the military, that's called our basic training. That allows us to speak a common language. That allows us to understand the common culture, right? To understand the ethos of who we are as an organization, as a team. And then after you reevaluate the training, then what does that process look like? And if we just start there, and so what happens, and my wife and I, we talk about this all the time when we have these various encounters in organizations, you know, when's the last time you called somewhere and you had a phone call, Kate, and you're like calling a medical facility or a hotel or something, and you want to be upset with that young person or that person, whoever they are and however they old they are, but then you step back and go, wait a minute, maybe they haven't been properly trained. Maybe they don't have a process that supports that training so that every time they get on that phone or every time they deal with somebody at that desk, that they do it well and they do it with a level of commitment, a level of accountability. So that's where that implementation starts at, is just evaluating what your programs look like, and then we can begin to build from there.
Yes, yeah, so starting right at the beginning, because if you don't have it at the beginning, I could go through whatever program it is, but if there's no accountability, that's a great one. No accountability, well, how do we know what's happening? And if I don't have a routine and I don't know this is standard operating procedure, which you understand that, if you don't have the SOP, what's going to happen, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, as an airline pilot, people are amazed. What I say, Kate, is that I have shown up to the airplane, never having flown to that destination, never having met that fellow pilot before a day in my life. And guess what? There's a 200,000-pound airplane, and there's 200 people in the back of that airplane, and they trust that we will get them there safely. And the company trusts that we will execute that job safely. Why and how can we do that? It's because they've provided us with the right training, and they provided us with the right processes by way of a standard operating procedure, by way of checklists, and other things that allows us to implement that training every single time.
Yeah, that's the key. All right, Jason, so if people want to find you when your feet are on the ground anyway, where can they do that?
They can absolutely find me. My website is nofailtrust.com. If you go to nofailtrust.com, you'll find a little bit of her information about me. And if you want to email me, feel free to email me at jason@nofailtrust.com. And you can also send me a text, call at 719-203-7257.
All right. People are going to be calling you for rides. I know it. Come on, take me up. I want to open that big bird. It was just wonderful to have you on the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's a pleasure and honor, and I appreciate you so much.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
For a conversation with James Bridgewater, and he's written a couple of books, and we're going to talk about first one called Blind Justice. And as he told me off the air, he liked to read and write even as a child, so he's very prolific, and his stories pull you in. So wait till you hear about the first one, Blind Justice. James, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
So tell us about Blind Justice. What led you to write this book?
I met a man who used to just work in a dockyard, and that was a very sort of male, masculine job, right? Whereas what he would much rather have been doing back in those days was wearing women's clothes. And once he retired, he decided that he would do that for himself. Right? And so he used to be a real transvestite when I knew him, yeah, after he left his work in the dockyard. And so, although he was a big guy, about, he could have been a heavyweight boxer looking at the size of him, yeah, but he used to wear sort of skirts and dresses and makeup and lots of jewelry and stuff and all makeup and everything, yeah. And that was part of it.
And so that ended up in your book, right? The split personality.
Yeah.
Wow. Tell us the story of Blind Justice.
The story of Blind Justice is that there's a child who loses their parents, and so they go to a sort of orphanage kind of place, and while they're there they get abused, and it's the way their mind sort of deals with the abuse is having a split personality. And so one personality just sort of carries on being a fairly sort of normal, ordinary person, just living a fairly average life, but also subduing a lot of their feelings with alcohol and stuff like that, whereas the other one becomes this transvestite vigilante who goes out trying to get revenge on paedophiles, and while he's out doing that, he also goes after people who are sort of corrupt bankers and all that kind of thing.
Wow, interesting. Don't tell us the end. Does it have a twisted ending?
Well, there is quite a twist at the ending, and also I've left it so I could write a sequel.
Nice. So we might see a sequel to Blind Justice. And it's interesting because I mentioned you've written several books, and I want to talk about another novel. I want to talk about Master Stroke, because it's interesting that this started off as a short story, and you were telling me something about an open mic night that I thought was interesting, because you never know where your ideas are going to come from. So tell us about Master Stroke.
Well, Master Stroke is grew out of a short story, because I'm regularly involved with lots of writing groups and stuff here in Plymouth. And what I did was just to try and describe what it was like for someone coming off drugs and stuff after being addicted, because I'm involved with plenty of groups and stuff where there are people who are alcoholics, ex-drug addicts, people who have been in offenders' places, prisons and things, homeless, all that kind of stuff, all the edge of society. And the book grew into looking at artwork and how dealers, although they can seem to be nice people and they've got all the sort of money and the cars and every nice flat in London and all that kind of stuff, they're not really the nice people. Whereas this other person, who is also trying to help the artist who's going to be the next sort of big thing in the art world, like Damien Hirst, but then they become involved with that person as well, and they're going to sort of try and work out which is the right person to spend their time with and work with him.
So in your books too, it's interesting in talking about Masterstroke, you definitely have an affinity for art, don't you?
Well, I've always just been more a culture vulture, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see that in Masterstroke. Yeah.
Not much of a sort of painter or drawer myself, but I'm getting more into that kind of thing now. I've just finished a photography course, which I did that was backed by the National Autistic Society and the Royal Photography Society, yeah.
Yeah, wow, interesting. And then you've got another book, Confessions of an Emotional Shipwreck, and this is very personal. Tell the listeners about this, and which, by the way, all these books are on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, but tell us about this book.
Well, this book is basically just an autobiography telling my life story, yeah. Because my earliest memory was when my mum committed suicide by crashing a car, and I was in the car as well at the time. When I was five, and because she had postnatal depression and she never really got over that, and then she died, and so I had to go to boarding school for about the age of six, and my dad had to leave his dream job in the Navy. We go back generations being officer engineers in the Navy. Not that I could have done that, because after the car crash I became epileptic, and after that I then went to these boarding schools and then spent a lot of my time, because I didn't have any brothers or sisters, just reading and writing and getting into books and stuff. And then I had a real psychological breakdown, I would call it, when I was aged 18, under a lot of pressure to do well at my A-levels. Yeah. The exams, which, depending on how I did with them, depends on what university I get to. Yeah. And following that, because I ended up attacking somebody, I got convicted and then went to a Young Offenders Institute, which put me right onto the edge of society, and it means I've got a criminal record pretty much for life. And after that, I redid my A-levels, and then got to, eventually went to study psychology for a year up in Manchester, yeah. And then when I was there, I also discovered about drugs and alcohol and stuff like that, and came off the rails again a bit then. But then I went to psychiatric hospitals and things, got myself sorted out. I managed to rebuild a relationship with my father, who was still around then. And following that, I decided that sort of creativity was my kind of thing. And so I got involved with local theatres and stuff. And we set up a group, 10 years ago now, yeah. First it was just called Our Space. And that has been so successful with backing from the lottery fund and stuff like that, that we've now got Our Space, and there's also another sort of higher level of it, Project X, where we make up our own sort of stories and plays and put them on at the local theatre. We would have done one this coming month. Because of COVID, we still had to leave that at the moment. But we just postponed it. We'll do it sometime next year, I think.
Wow. So what a life. So you've really been through it, and you've come full circle. As you said, no siblings, and reading and writing became your outlet, and now here you are published. What's it like for you to see your books published? That has to be exciting.
Well, that was why I wrote the first one, Master Stroke, to see if I could sort of write a book and get it published.
Yeah.
But it's great to go into a bookshop or something and see your stuff on the shelves and do a launch party as well. When they give you posters and stuff and just do signings of your books and that kind of thing.
Yes, and congratulations on that. That's wonderful. And I can't wait to see what happens with the sequel with Blind Justice, that's for sure. And I want to remind everyone that all of James, all of his work, all of his books are on Amazon and on Barnes and Noble. And what do you hope people take away from all of reading all of your work? Somebody gets interested in your work and they say, well, I want to know more about them. So they go with the bio and then they read both of your novels. What do you hope the takeaway is?
Well, they don't judge books by their covers, because they've got to realize that people, despite whatever they've done in the past, you can't just judge someone by that. You've got to go and actually meet them and talk to them and find out who they are now.
Yeah.
And my best friend these days is a guy who was homeless for years, and he got his life back together again, sold The Big Issue, which is a magazine here in the UK that backs people who are homeless, and they just sell it to raise a bit of money and get themselves sorted out. Things like that.
Yeah, wonderful.
And also, the group I do at the theatre, we're all ex-drug addicts or ex-alcoholics or ex-offenders, homeless people like that. And we just, because it means we've got so interesting stories and stuff in our backgrounds that we can use to feed into the stuff that we use to create our plays and scripts and stuff when we're writing new things.
Yeah. Wow. Very interesting. Your story, your life is interesting, and I love hearing about your friend as well and what you're able to do. And you're right, not judging a book by its cover and how people are multidimensional. Things can happen and things morph and change. And that's, I think, what leads to your writing and these rich characters, I'll call them, and how you're able to develop them, I think is based on some of the things certainly that you've seen in your lifetime, James. There's no question about that. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this version of the show. Remember to make it count, everybody. Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.